All right, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be really digging into a pretty fundamental question in business law.
Okay.
And it's something that, I think is super relevant, especially if you're interested in kind of the nitty-gritty of how businesses get started,
Absolutely.
like the very beginning and the legal baggage, I guess you could say, that they kind of
Inherit.
inherit.
Yeah.
When can a company actually be held responsible for agreements that were made even before it legally existed?
Right.
Before it was even really a thing.
Like, how can you have a contract with something that isn't even there?
Exactly.
Yeah, and to like really get into this, we're gonna be looking at a classic case,
Oh, okay.
Cradleball versus Aldrin Theaters Company.
Right.
This is an Iowa Supreme Court decision from 1923.
Wow. Okay, so we're going way back.
Going way back.
Yeah.
And it involves, a lawyer
Yeah.
and basically them trying to get a theater business going. And it really kind of highlights all the little like ins and outs of these pre-incorporation contracts.
Got it, got it. Okay. So our mission today is to really unpack this case and see what key legal principles we can pull out about corporate liability, for these agreements that happen so early on. And, hopefully we can make it clear, engaging, and I really want to show, the listeners why this case, even though it's 100 years old, still matters today.
Absolutely, yeah. These fundamental principles, they stick around.
Yeah, they really do. Okay, so let's get into it. What happened here? What led to this case?
Okay, so imagine like three people, right?
Okay.
And they're acting as what are called promoters.
Okay,
You
so
guys,
promoters, what exactly does that mean?
these are like the people who are the driving force behind a new venture. They're the ones taking those first steps to like get a business up and running.
Got it.
Right. And in this case, they were trying to set up a theater in Iowa.
Okay, theater.
Yeah, so before the Aldrin Theaters Company was like officially incorporated,
Okay.
before it was like legally a company, these promoters hired a lawyer named J.W. Criddleball.
Okay.
And he was supposed to handle the incorporation process, all the legal stuff,
Got it.
right?
Yep.
And they agreed to pay him $1,500 for his work.
$1,500. Okay. So the crucial thing here is that this agreement, this deal, it was made before Aldrin
Before it
Theater
existed,
was a legal entity.
it didn't exist.
It's kind of like signing a lease for an apartment before the building's even been built.
Exactly. Yeah, like the blueprints aren't even done.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
kind of crazy when you think about it.
It really is. So Criddleball goes ahead and he gets this incorporation done, right?
He does all the paperwork. He gets it all squared away.
Okay, and then things get a little more complicated, right?
Yeah, things get a little interesting. So, after the company is legally formed, like it's officially a company now,
Right.
guess who becomes the directors of the new corporation?
I'm guessing the three promoters.
You got it. The same three guys who hired Criddleball in the first place.
Okay, so it's like they made this promise, and now they're in charge of the company that we assume is supposed to fulfill that promise. So it seems pretty straightforward,
You
right?
would think so, yeah.
Like a next step is they pay the guy.
You would think so. And initially, it seemed like that's what was going to happen. At their very first meeting, the board of directors, they acknowledge Criddleball's services.
Okay.
They say, yeah, he did this work.
So they knew about the agreement.
They knew. And what's even more important, they actually tell him to go and get a stock permit so they can raise capital. And they specifically mention that some of that money that they're going to raise will be used to pay him that original $1,500 fee.
Okay, so like in writing, they're saying, we're gonna get this money and we're gonna pay you.
It seems like a pretty clear indication that they intend to pay, right?
Yeah, it really does. So what happened? Why did they refuse to pay him in the end?
Well, yeah, that's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Despite all that, despite acknowledging the debt and saying they were going to pay him, later on, the corporation just flat out refused to pay.
What?
Yeah, they said, nope, not doing it. And their argument was basically that the corporation itself, like the legal entity, wasn't actually bound by this contract, because it was made before they existed.
Right, because the corporation, legally wasn't a party to it.
Exactly. They were like, hey, that was a deal those promoters made, not us. We're the corporation. We didn't agree to anything.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where things get tricky legally.
I see, I see. So What was the big question that the Iowa Supreme Court had to deal with then? What were they trying to decide?
Well, the big question, the really fundamental issue here was, can a corporation, like legally, be forced to honor a contract that was made by its promoters before the corporation even existed? Especially when, you know, the corporation didn't sign a new agreement after it was formed.
Right, right.
Like, can a company be on the hook for something it didn't technically agree to because it wasn't even around yet?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, and it might surprise you what the court decided.
Yeah, tell me, what did they decide? And what was the thinking behind their decision?
Okay, so the Iowa Supreme Court, they sided with Crittlebaugh.
Okay.
They said, yep, Aldrin Theaters Company, you got to pay that $1,500, you're liable.
Okay, wow. So they said the company was on the hook even though it didn't exist when the deal was made.
Right. And the big thing here, the real key to their decision, is this legal idea called ratification.
Ratification. Yeah. Okay, now, I'm not a lawyer, so break that down for me.
Sure, sure.
What does it mean for a corporation to ratify a contract that was made, you know, before it was incorporated?
Okay, so think of it this way. Ratification means that even though the corporation wasn't technically a part of that original agreement, you know, because it didn't exist yet, it can, through its actions after it's formed, basically say, yeah, we're adopting this agreement as our own.
Oh, okay.
And by doing that, by basically saying, this is our agreement now, they become legally bound by it.
Okay, so even though they weren't there at the beginning, they can kind of step in later and say, yeah, we're taking this on.
Exactly, exactly. It's like they're saying, we're agreeing to this now, even though we weren't around before.
Got it, got it. So how did the court decide that Aldrin Theaters had actually done that, that they had ratified this agreement with Crittlebaugh? What did they look at to figure that out?
Right, good question. So the court, they looked at a few key things.
Okay.
First, they looked at what the directors knew.
Okay, so the knowledge of the people running the company.
Exactly. And remember, these directors, they were the same guys who were the promoters, the ones who hired Crittlebaugh in the first place.
Right.
So they knew about the contract. They knew all about the work he had done.
So they couldn't really say, oh, we didn't know.
Right, exactly. You can't ratify something you don't even know about, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. What else did they consider?
The second big thing the court considered was the benefit that the corporation got out of all this.
Okay, the benefit to the company.
Yeah. So Aldrin Theaters, they benefited big time from Crittlebaugh's work because, well, he got them incorporated in Iowa.
Right, right.
Without him, they wouldn't have legally existed in that state.
That's pretty fundamental.
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's like the very foundation of their existence as a company. And the court was basically saying, look, it wouldn't be fair for you to take that benefit, you know, the benefit of actually existing, and then turn around and say, oh, we don't have to pay for it.
Right. It seems a little shady.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, it wouldn't be fair for me to take advantage of your work and then just refuse to pay you because I didn't sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so knowledge, benefit, what was the third piece of the puzzle here?
The third thing, and this is really important, is the conduct of the corporation after it was formed.
Okay.
The court really zeroed in on what happened at that first board meeting.
Okay.
So remember how they acknowledged the debt to Crittlebaugh?
Yeah.
And even more than that, they told him to get the stock permit specifically to pay him with the money they raised.
Right, right.
The court looked at that and said, okay, that right there, that shows us that they were ratifying that original agreement.
Okay.
Even though there wasn't like a fancy new contract signed by the corporation.
So just saying it out loud and having that documented was enough to legally bind them.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a good reminder that while it's always best to have everything in writing, you know, to avoid any confusion, what a corporation says and does, especially its leaders, can have some pretty serious legal consequences.
Yeah. Okay, so this whole idea of fairness seems to be a big deal here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is where it gets really interesting. The judge who wrote the court's opinion, Justice DeGray, he made a really big point of emphasizing equity, you know, fairness.
Oh, okay.
He's basically saying, listen, a corporation can't just take advantage of someone's work and then just skip out on paying because of some technicality.
Right, right.
It's not about just following the letter of the law. It's about doing what's right.
Yeah, like they knew about the agreement. They got the benefit from Crittlebaugh's work. They can't just pretend it never happened.
Exactly. To do that would be like taking advantage of him unfairly.
It would be totally unfair.
Yeah, it would.
It kind of reminds me of like, you know, if you bought a bunch of stuff on a friend's credit card and then just, you know, never paid them back.
Right, right. The law doesn't look too kindly on that.
No, it doesn't. It's kind of like you can't have your cake and eat it too, you know? You can't benefit from something and then deny that you have any responsibility for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, before we go any further, I think it's super important to clear up something for our listeners.
Yeah, definitely.
This decision, it doesn't mean that promoters, the people who set things up in the beginning,
Right.
aren't responsible for agreements they make.
Absolutely, yeah. We need to make sure we understand that.
It's not like promoters get a free pass just because the corporation exists now.
No, that's not how it works. Generally, promoters are still the ones who are personally liable for these pre-incorporation contracts.
Got it. So the corporation isn't automatically responsible just because it exists, right?
Right. They have to take some action, like to adopt or ratify the agreement.
Okay. So in this case, in Cradleball, what made the corporation responsible was that they did something after the company was formed to, essentially take ownership of that agreement.
Exactly, yeah. Their actions shifted the liability from the promoters to the corporation.
And that specific action, the key here, was ratification.
Ratification, yeah. That's what made all the difference.
It's like it bridges the gap legally between that early agreement and the new company.
Yeah, it connects the dots.
Oh, and speaking of connecting the dots, the court actually used a Latin phrase in their opinion,
Oh, yeah.
and I always find this stuff interesting. It was cum one.
Yes, cum one.
Cum one.
Yeah, it sounds kind of ominous, right?
It does a little bit. What does it mean?
It means with the burden.
Ah.
Basically, the court was saying, look, when a corporation takes the benefits of a pre-incorporation agreement, they also take on the burdens that go with it.
Oh, I see.
You can't just pick and choose what you want. So in this case, when Aldrin Theaters accepted the benefit of being incorporated, thanks to Crittlebaugh's work, they also had to accept the responsibility of paying for it.
Okay, that makes
It's like a
sense.
package deal.
Yeah, cum onere with the burden. Okay, so we've talked a lot about this case, what it means legally, but for anyone out there listening, maybe they're thinking about being a lawyer, maybe they're thinking about starting their own company.
Right.
What are the big takeaways here? What should people keep in mind, especially from this case, even though it's so old?
Yeah, there's some really important lessons here. I think the biggest one, especially for people who are going to be promoters, is you've got to have crystal clear agreements
Okay.
right from the get-go about who's going to be responsible for any costs before the company's actually formed.
Got it.
Don't just rely on like informal understandings or assumptions. Get everything in writing, make sure everyone knows what's up.
Great advice, yeah. If
Yeah.
you can prevent a dispute before it happens, that's the best case scenario.
Exactly.
What else should people keep in mind?
Another big takeaway from this case is that what a corporation does after it's legally born, like after it's incorporated, really matters. Even things that seem informal, like discussions at board meetings, can have big legal consequences.
Okay.
Yeah, like, acknowledging a debt that existed before, talking about how you're going to pay it, that can be seen as ratifying an earlier agreement, even if there's no new contract. So it's important to be really careful about those early decisions and conversations.
Right, because you might think it's just a casual conversation,
Yeah.
but legally it could be a lot more than that.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is something that's really relevant today, with so many startups and things happening quickly, it's easy to forget that those early discussions can have serious legal weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so clear agreements, be mindful of actions after incorporation. Any other big takeaways?
Yeah. One last thing, and this is a good one to remember. The court really focused on fairness, on equity. That tells us that courts don't want to let corporations get away with unfairly benefiting from someone's work without paying for it. So the law isn't always just about black and white rules. It's also about making sure things are fair.
Okay, that's a good point. So basically what we've learned from Crittlebaugh v. Aldrin Theaters Company is that even though corporations aren't automatically responsible for the agreements their promoters made before the corporation was even a thing, their actions afterwards, especially if they acknowledge that they benefited from the agreement and show that they're going to honor it, can make them legally responsible.
Yeah, that's a great summary.
It's a really good example of how corporate law tries to balance the strict legal stuff with basic fairness.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a reminder that forming a corporation doesn't magically wipe away everything that happened before.
It's not like a clean slate.
Nope.
So this really makes me wonder, in today's world where we have so many startups and people are making agreements and spending money long before they incorporate, how does this old case still apply?
That's a great question.
What can entrepreneurs and their lawyers do and make sure they're being clear about who's responsible for what?
Right, right.
And to avoid these kinds of legal fights down the road.
Yeah. What can we learn from this case to avoid these issues?
It's something for everyone to think about.
Definitely. Yeah.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
You too.